Today, it's very exciting, right? We had a great time of worship, and starting today, we're going to begin starting next week, 10 weeks. That's 11 weeks altogether. Sounds crazy, but 11 weeks of kind of looking at relationships, okay? Breaking them up, we're going to have small group time starting next week, guys group, girls group, and we'll be able to hit individual things like that. But tonight, I'm excited because we have some celebrities, some church celebrities here with us tonight. I'm excited because we, in fact, you have provided a lot of questions, and thank you all for all of you who submitted these online. We've got a lot of good questions here to ask of Chad and Kelly. I'm going to invite Chad and Kelly come up. Round of applause. They were gracious enough to stop here on their tour of the talk show circuits, and so we're gracious that they decided to come and hang out with us. And so what I thought would be fun, this, obviously that's Kelly, Kelly, and that's Chad with the beard. The facial hair is Chad. Just, I want it to be very crystal clear, just right from this seems like we're so far away, but that's okay. Still, it feels like home. It's okay. Hello. But I thought it'd be cool because I just want to spend a few minutes before we get into really the bulk of again, what we're going to be talking about tonight. And I thought we'd have a little fun. And so I put together five questions. They did not see them until they got here. And have you ever been dating someone or maybe going out or whatever term you use? You shouldn't be dating, right? We talked about this a few months ago. There's no dating. You're not courting. You're not there yet. You're hanging out with a group of friends. That's about as far as you should be going. But have you ever been hanging out with a group of friends and there's that certain someone in your life and someone says, what's their favorite dessert? And you're like, and if you're a guy, you're like, dude, I don't know. Chocolate. Or it's a safe answer. It's chocolate. And so I put together five questions. And I had them answer about each other. We'll start with Chad. This is what Chad answered about Kelly, because this, and again, this is, and I'll just go over these real quick, and we'll get into the Q&A back and forth. But I said, hey, Chad, what is Kelly's favorite ice cream?
Mint chocolate. Hello? Can you hear me? Mint chocolate chip.
Mint chocolate chip. Kelly, is he correct?
He's correct.
He is correct. Awesome. One for the guys. Men. Okay, Chad, I asked Chad, what is Kelly's favorite Bible verse? And he said Jeremiah 29:11.
That's my sister's.
Ooh. Dude. We're not going to go Jerry Springer. We're not going to ask any questions. We're going to go to the next one. Favorite musician or band? And Chad said it's, without a doubt, David Crowder. David Crowder? You like? And they're breaking up.
I know.
They're breaking up.
They're going to be Charlotte.
That is sad. And I like the hairy, skinny guy. He was good. And then we ask another one, and we asked Chad, name at least one recreational activity that Kelly likes. And he gave us a couple of different ones, and I've really got a question about one of these because I don't know what it is, I think. Well, I know swimming, but that's kind of general, right? You can swim in your bathtub.
It's like my favorite thing to do, though.
You like to swim? La-di-da-di, swimming. Just go jumping. Okay. He also, camping. You're an outdoors person, right? Outdoorsy lady, woman. And cornhole.
Love cornhole.
What is, I don't know. What? Dude, I'm sorry. I don't know what cornhole is. Can you explain? Can somebody explain what that is?
It's almost like beanbag toss.
Beanbag tossing.
It's like that.
Okay. Okay, got it. Okay, and then we asked Chad, say, hey, Chad, name at least one dream or aspiration. Because when you're dating somebody, seriously, right? Like when you're thinking like this person hung the moon and the stars and it's like that important, you should know this about them, right? And so Chad says, she has a heart for orphans and the hungry. Not sure if that's a dream or an aspiration. But where does that fit in, Kelly? Grab the mic and let us know. How did he do?
I think he did really well.
He did.
My goal is to go to India.
Yes, that's right.
To help with kids.
That's cool. That's awesome.
So it's close.
Okay.
He didn't name the place.
That's fine. That was very. But you were right on. I think, except for the sister thing, that was good.
The sister thing.
That was 4 out of 5. Wow, that's crazy. Okay. So we asked the same questions of Kelly to kind of get this thing started. And so we said, Kelly, what is Chad's favorite ice cream?
Harris Teeter peanut butter cup.
Is that correct? Any Harris Teeter peanut butter cup people out there?
Not Reese's peanut butter cup. Not,
yeah, there's a difference.
Not Breyers. Not any. It is the Harris Teeter brand.
Okay, that's good. That's game on. That's good. Favorite verse. Kelly wrote, said, Chad's favorite verse is Romans 8:11. Is that right?
He might not know what that is.
That is Romans 8:11. Same
which is
spirit.
The one, it's the other one where.
It would be between that one and the good work I began in you.
Okay.
Like, I'll go on to complete.
So that's close. That's good. So she was, she's been paying attention.
It is both of those.
She could have just put like Genesis 1:1 and guessed.
Yeah.
Okay. Favorite band and musician. And this one's kind of interesting here. This one caught my, you know, sometimes you read things and like, it's like a big red flag goes up. This is one for me because I'm reading this. I'm like, you know, cause if you're dating somebody, you should kind of know their favorite band and musician. And what I got, it kind of blew my mind here because she wrote Christian artist and that's really general. That's like saying, what's his favorite food? Food. It's like, he likes food. Well, I know the food, but it's like, so, I mean, is that right? You like Christian artists?
Band now.
Okay.
I listen to more Christian stuff, and it's not Christian stuff, and it's more.
Okay.
If it's not Christian music, it'd be more singer songwriter music.
Okay, like give us some examples. Like, what's on the playlist right now?
Oh man, I like David Crowder.
Okay.
Oh, right now.
Lecrae, what you got?
Sean McDonald.
Okay.
David Crowder. Hillsong, all that kind of stuff. But then if you take it outside of that, it'd be like Amos Lee and singer-songwriter
okay.
stuff. So.
All right, cool. Good, good, good. Okay, and we asked Kelly, name at least one recreational activity that Chad likes. And she listed a bunch. So Chad's pretty active. Disc golf. Good. Yeah, that's a good nod. Video games, but more specifically, Madden Football 2010. Are you a Madden guy? Yeah? Any Madden folks out there?
But it's not the 2010.
That's fine. Did you know that I took on, when I was in college, I took on the college champ of Madden football and I beat him down. Yeah. He said I was cheating. I'm like, you can't cheat. It's like, you can't cheat. I'm running the same four plays on you. Stop me. But you could probably beat me because it's been a while since I played. So, and then name at least one dream or aspiration. Kelly said that you wanted to have at least 12 kids. No, I'm just kidding. It was, you wanted an album of your own songs. Does that sound about right?
Well, I mean, I don't really have it.
You got to have the mic. That way we can hear you.
I've never really thought of an actual dream or aspiration, but that would probably be at the top just because I'm working on it now, and I've always wanted to put my heart out on CD and touch people.
So. Chad, is this what you should have said? What did a guy time out? Girls, just act like you're not listening. You should have said,
yes, that's right.
I'm sitting next to my dream and aspiration. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Good. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. Now we're back in the game. All right. So that was some fun. And so what I want to do now, because we get to know them and they know each other pretty well, right? We agree. So this isn't like a rigged thing. Like we just didn't go to Harris Teeter, pull two people out of the sub line or whatever, said, hey, we need you to do a talk tonight. No, they kind of know each other, which is good and healthy. And so I wanted them to take just a few moments, probably 2 or 3 minutes apiece, because we got a lot of questions to go through. And we'll start with Chad. Chad, we'll start with you. And basically, you know, we want like the 3-minute version of how you came to faith and how you basically came. And I know you guys have an incredible story because I heard it. Yeah. And it's a lengthy story, but it's good. There's a lot of details which are all necessary to make it part of the story. But what is, again, the 3-minute version of you coming to faith, and then how you got to sit next to Kelly. How did this happen?
Well, my testimony is a long one, but to try to wrap it up, basically I was a person that I got heavily involved with alcohol, girls, just all kinds of stuff. And my cousin came to work for me. He lived in Chicago for a while, and he was in, like, the ministry and stuff up there. Well, I work for my father. We fabricate, like, heating and air duct work, the stuff that the air runs through. So of all places, when he comes back to Charlotte, he gets a job with us. And that's kind of odd because you would think he would just go back into ministry. And every day at break time, he'd be reading his Bible outside. And one Friday night, I was out with some buddies drinking, and it was just to the point that I've been doing it for years and years. And I'm like, man, I'm hitting a wall. So we went out Saturday night, and I told myself I'm not going to drink Saturday night. And I probably drank more that night than the night before. So for me, it just became a cycle of just being lost and searching for something and not really knowing. And so I go to work that Monday, and he's sitting outside reading his Bible like he usually does at break time. And the first thing I said to him was, you know, I need to go to church. And he asked me what I was talking about, and started talking to me and stuff. And anyway, he gave me the Message Bible, which I don't read that one now, but he wanted me to try to get it, and it's just pretty basic. So he told me to go home and read John. And the first time in my life, and I grew up in a household where my dad's a believer and stuff, it was more like forcing it on me and not really showing me the true Christ or the love of Christ. So I began to read it, and I saw it through my own eyes for the first time. And throughout that week, I read the four Gospels. And that Friday, I'm going to try to speed this up. That Friday, I came home. I mean, I went to work that Friday, and me and my sister, we were living together at the time, but I had just recently moved back home because things were getting complicated with me and her and my lifestyle. So I moved back home with my parents, and she never, even when we lived together, we never hung out together. So it was kind of odd. That Friday, I was in my car getting ready to go home, and I was talking to my cousin outside of the, he's actually my step cousin. I was talking to him. He was standing outside, and I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do because it's the first weekend. I'm going to be by myself. You know, people's going to call. My friends are going to call. I'm going to go back out there and just do whatever. And my sister yells down at me, and she says, you know, what are you doing Saturday night? Do you want to go to a party? So I'm like, oh, great. But the night before, I just got through reading in Matthew about Jesus when he was talking in the synagogues, and they told him that his mother and his brother, mother and brothers, was outside waiting for him. And he looked at him and said, this is my mother and brothers. You know, this is my family here. And in the Message, it goes on to say, obedience is thicker than blood, which my sister then asking me, do you want to hang out Saturday and go to a party and stuff? At first, it hit me as odd, and I kept talking to my step cousin, and then she said, that's messed up. I'm your family. I'm your own blood. And she said that, and to me, that verse, everything I read the night before jumped out at me, and I knew at that moment I had an option to go one way or the other. I just felt this presence over me, and I just rolled up my window, and I knew I was going to be okay, and cried out to God all the way home, asked him into my life and all that, and it felt like a backpack of weights just cut off of me. And at this time, I have to go home, and I'm sitting there thinking, I've never had a relationship with my mom and dad to tell them things, and I'm like, I want to tell them. I don't know how to tell them. I was like, God, help me to explain this to them. I want to tell them what happened. And I go to the house, and the last thing I said as I was getting out of my car, which I still have to remember this today because it's so true and powerful and it's so real, and if I would stick to it, it would just be awesome. The last thing I said was, God, your will be done, and I didn't look back, and I went up the steps, and we have a door and a glass door. Well, the main door was open, and it was just the glass door, and my mom is usually in the kitchen or the office or somewhere. I know I'm going to have to go find her, but I'm scared but yet excited at the same time because And I said, God, your will be done. And as I go to reach for the glass door, she's just standing in the foyer staring at me. Like, just, I believe to this day God placed her to make it easy because I said, your will be done, and he provided that way. So, anyway, that was the whole salvation story. But then going on a mission trip, I got an email inviting me to go to Honduras and a couple other people because they were coming up short. And it's nothing that I've ever wanted to do. I told myself I'm never going to get on a plane. I've been on
one. Hold on one second. You got an email from Kelly?
Yeah.
So was she stalking you? We'll get to that in a minute.
We'll get to that.
We're going to get to that. Okay.
But at that time, I had only been saved for a couple of years. And that time, mission trips weren't really on my mind at that point, you know, because I have a fear of flying, like the fear of, like, oh, I'm not good enough. Who am I to go? Like all that stuff. And so then it was just a series of events throughout that week of praying hardcore that I was just – I finally felt like God was speaking to me to go. So we go to the mission trip, and then the first day on the job, me and her get paired up, and we're working together, and it was just like this immediate thing that it was almost like God was showing me her, because some of the things we were talking about is some of my brokenness and hurts and stuff, that she was just speaking life into me, and it was just, it kind of kicked off from there. And at the end of the trip, God didn't allow none of it to come out until the very end. And then the last day, both stories came out. So it was almost like God protected the team unity by not letting me and her spill it early. And it came out. So that's how we're sitting here. And that was more than 3 minutes.
That's fine. Awesome, man. Thanks for sharing that. Kelly, you want to share your testimony, and then, and I know it, which is kind of funny to use that word, right? No, I'm just kidding. Share your testimony, and then again, from your perspective, maybe you can go a little bit more into the trip side of it, too.
Yeah, mine's really quick.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so my testimony is, I don't actually remember when I was saved. My mom tells me it was when I was 4. So for me, like, I don't have a knowledge of my life before Christ. I don't have that knowledge.
But you were a pretty bad 4-year-old before that.
I must have been. I have okay. no idea. Like, okay. I mean, that kind of thing. So I've been raised in the church. My whole family's raised in the church. I grew up that way. All I know is living out my life completely for Him. I mean, that's just been my life every day. That's my decision. That's what I do. There was a time in college, though, that I kind of was like, and then I started going through all this doubt, like, did I really do it? Like, because I heard all these testimonies and people like Chad's story, and I'd be sitting there going, I don't have anything like that. And then I wouldn't know what to say, because I'd be like, I don't know, but is this, you know, like, maybe I am missing something, or, you know, that kind of thing. But I got through that because I was like, if I am not saved, I don't know how else you could be saved, that kind of thing. So I went through that for just a little 2-year thing. But then the missions trip. I went on a missions trip to Honduras, then I went to one to Peru, and I just fell in love with the whole thing. And so I wanted to go to Honduras again, and then Daryl told us that it wasn't going to happen, and he said, because we were missing people, and I was like, I'll go get them. And so I sought out, and I sent emails to...
Were they all guys?
That's no, my, okay. They weren't all guys. Okay. But
that makes me feel better.
But Daryl did say, Kelly, it would be good if we had some men, because it's a lot of lifting and concrete. And so I sent out a bunch of emails. And I actually don't, I never really knew Chad either, because he went to the Monroe campus. So I didn't really know him. I just knew of him because he worked at CR. So I was like, you serve. You haven't gotten a missions trip. Why? And so I sent him an email. That was my wow. reasoning. Like,
did you Facebook him first? Did you like, you know?
No, okay. Not at all. Like, not even.
You're not that kind of stalker?
No. Okay. So just send out the emails. And he happened to be one person that said he was going to go. And again, I don't know him. I was just glad we were going to Honduras. Get the team together. All right, let's go. And so, yeah, we have training that we have to go through before we go, and still never really talk to the dude ever and that kind of thing. He was just there.
I like that. And, the dude. Yeah. I like that.
And one time we were cleaning things, and he was just standing.
Dishes.
Dishes, thank you.
Children, dishes. Shoes. I
mean, I'm trying to think.
Okay.
The barbecue dishes. We're cleaning them.
Okay.
And Chad's just standing there holding them, and I'm like, and I'm looking at him like, this is so awkward. I don't even know who he is. And I was like, so, I don't really know you at all.
Wow. Okay.
That was my way of breaking the awkwardness.
Wow. Was it pretty thick?
It's a good starter.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, you know, it was just because I was the assistant leader. So I felt like I had to like meet him. But again, it was just
you had to.
Yeah.
Had
to. Tried to break okay. the, you know, whatever. And so then we got to Honduras, and it was our first day on the site, and everyone's working hard, doing their thing. And when one project got done, you went and started another one, and it just shuffled around. And then I ended up having to break rebar and mix things and tie things.
With your bare hands?
No.
Okay.
And then Chad got done doing whatever he was doing, and then he was assigned to go work with me. So it was just the two of us.
Do you think someone did that on purpose, by the way?
I don't think so, because it just
happened. Let's put the two
it's very
single young adults together and see what happens.
It's very just, you know, like, I okay. mean, no one assigned it. It was the Mason worker people that don't speak English that was be like, you go this way, go that way. I mean, they didn't really, you know. And so Chad and I ended up sitting there and just talking, and the more he talked, and, you know, he just was going on and on, and I'm sitting there going, oh. Like, then I started, you know, seeing his heart and who
then
he
became,
was.
Oh.
And then I was like,
So it was so at that point that he became Chad? Was at that point that he became Chad instead of the dude?
It was at that point okay. where he was no longer the dude. He became Chad. And then my mom and Jen were on the trip, and my mom and Jen were also my roommates. And it was at that point when they would be like, we are tired of hearing about Chad. And it wasn't me thinking I like Chad. I wasn't saying anything about me being interested or any of that kind of stuff. I would be more sitting there going, I don't think he actually thinks about me. I don't think he actually likes me.
Hold on, time out. Guys, this is crazy. Men.
It's true.
Okay.
This is what goes on in your head. And I'm sitting there going, he's just being nice to me because I'm the leader. He has to be nice to me. And my mom and Chad, of course, are going, would you stop? And they think I'm crazy. But and then it was a thing where both him and I would not, like, purposely talk to each other. We wouldn't go near each other. We wouldn't do, like, and we'd just be doing this whole thing. So, again, never thought he was interested in me. Thought he thought nothing of me, even remotely. And I tried to be like, no, no, don't think of him. You're on a mission trip. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. But I was just one of those things where the more he would talk, I'd be like, oh.
And Chad, let me see. Chad's probably thinking, like, I just sat down and ate. And she's like, wait, he sat three chairs down. And what is that supposed to mean?
No.
He's like, dude, I'm just hungry.
No, food. Chad would sit in the same seat every time. And so everywhere.
Consistency. Like that.
Same seat. And I was like, I can't go sit there because everyone knows that Chad's going to sit there. And if I sit there, then everybody's like, oh, Kelly's sitting there. Oh. This is how my mind works. So I had to, like, move around. I'm a silly girl. It's the way it is.
Wow.
But it was that kind of thing. But then, again, like he said, on the last day, like, I ended up having to sit next to him on the bus to the airport. And something he was talking about, how people think he's arrogant and not really, he doesn't talk to people. People don't think that they like him, you know, like that he likes other people. And I was just like, yeah, I can see that. And he was just like,
because you sit in the same seat. People
He's like, what do you mean? I was like, that is the impression I got several times. He's like, you thought I didn't, you know, I was like, I mean, it was just, you know, I know that you're more shy and whatever, but that is definitely the impression that I got, that you were very, I could care less. And he was just like, no. And then it all came out, and then we talked, and then we sat by each other on the plane, and we talked, and we were like, oh, no, I wanted that. No, yeah. You know, it was that whole kind of thing.
That's when the fireworks, you could talk about the fireworks. That's awesome.
Yes.
Well, thank you for
sharing. And that's how we're together.
And just so you know, guys, you know, in the next 10 weeks, they're going to be helping out with our small groups in here. And so you, if you are lucky, you'll, I mean, it's a really cool story. It's a really awesome story, and I know the girls will just want all the details because they're like
There's a lot more details.
And it's a beautiful story, and so and you'll have an opportunity to hear that in full, but we want to move into the fun stuff now.
Yes.
Because a couple of months ago, we kind of had a dating talk, an engagement. You know, kind of we're moving through the process of courting and then marriage. And one of the things we looked at, and I'm kind of ad-libbing here. I know you guys saw the questions, but we're going to ad-lib just slightly. Put you a little bit on the spot to kind of get it going. But one of the things we noticed, the biggest difference between dating and courtship is a strings-attached policy. To where in dating, it's like there's no strings attached. Chad doesn't have to call me. He doesn't have to play Madden football with me or whatever it is that you guys do together. Cornhole. The games that you guys play. But he doesn't have to because there's no strings attached. Because if there are strings attached, then it's moving beyond dating at that point. So I'll ask Chad. Chad, I'll ask you. Would you say that you guys are dating, or are you moving towards more strings attached, moving towards more of a courtship? And I'm not saying you're going to be throwing rings down. I'm not putting that kind of, I'm not doing that, but I'm just saying, you know, is this becoming more serious? Because that's where we as a group, you know, we were kind of talking. And so I want them to hear firsthand kind of where you guys are at.
I think it's definitely more serious. I mean, it almost seems like since we came back from Honduras, we haven't been apart that much. I mean, I think that we had so much in common during that time and then just build off of that, I mean, it's definitely more serious. We're not just, I'll call you in a week if I want to or nothing like that. You know, more serious. I mean, I've been coming to Weddington now for the last month or so, and I didn't do that at first. So I was like, well, we might as well do church together. Is it to the point of throwing?
I guess we'll go to church.
Yeah,
no, I'm just kidding.
You know, we might as well, you know. Anyway, but is it? Well, I mean, I guess that's a question later. Somewhere.
Yes, and I think that's a good valid answer. It seems like, you know, just from my perception, you guys are really happy around each other, but it seems like from my perspective, moving in a healthy manner towards, you know, where it needs to be. And God is moving both of you at the same time. And that's one of the things we looked at too, is that from dating to courtship, that it's a gradual moving of you together. Not that you're becoming one at this point, but you are moving towards being a like-minded, you know, couple. And that's kind of the cool thing, too.
I think for me, the only thing I would probably add to that is that I've had bad relationships in the past, mm-hmm. you know, before I was saved. So for me, I know that it takes me longer to move ahead. There's walls in relationship areas for me just because of the bad past I've had and, you know, being cheated on and stuff like that. So, but I do feel like it's definitely moving in a direction that there's a lot of things I got to relearn. Mm-hmm. I've never had a Christ-centered relationship. I've got to learn that, you know, she's not like that. I can trust again. I can, you know, that kind of stuff. So for me, it's a little slower, but it's definitely in that process, I think.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And so, Kelly, question for you. As far as, like, y'all's time, but now you guys, how long ago was Honduras? So I want to get a time frame of how long you guys have been together.
About 9 months.
9 months.
Nine months.
Okay, exactly. See, that's awesome, right? Yeah, we can clap. That's good. 9 months. That's a long time, especially for some of you. That's a long time. But, okay, you've been together 9 months. But now, as far as, now tell us some of the activities now, you know, because I think sometimes when students here, you know, young adults are hanging out, they're thinking, oh, you guys are going out and it's just, you know, grabbing lunch, going downtown. But tell us, like, what a typical week, some of the things that you guys do together, just out of curiosity. PG. No, I'm just kidding. No. What are some of the things you guys do?
We play cribbage.
Whoa, I want to hear this.
What is that? What is cribbage?
No, I'm just, what he said, we're going to be sounding like old people. We play board games.
But y'all have friends. Now, you're in a life group, right? So you got.
We do go to life group, yes.
Okay. And y'all probably have a lot of those friends, too.
Because, I mean, our schedules are kind of busy, but he, you know, he serves at CR on Tuesdays, mm-hmm. and so he's there. And
what is CR, just so everyone knows?
Celebrate Recovery.
Okay.
So he leads worship mm-hmm. for Celebrate Recovery. And then, like, Monday, he's in the studio. Tuesday, he's doing that. Wednesday, we will get together with, you know, do things together, whatever it will be, video games.
Cribbage,
board games, hanging out with friends, my
what,
sister.
What is cribbage? I'm sorry.
Cribbage is a board game. It's with cards, so it's kind of like pegging point. It's something my dad taught me, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah,
I enjoy it. It's
like
kind of
fun.
A mind game. But anyway, that Thursday night, we are in the same life group together. And so we do life group together, and mm-hmm. and then church. Like, it's just, what? I mean, hanging out and doing things. Yeah. We do, yeah, movies, game nights.
Cool. What was the last movie you saw?
What was the last movie we saw?
Yes. What was the last movie that you watched?
Transporter.
Okay, cool.
The original one, the first one.
Okay, cool. Good. Question. Now, I, you know, and you can answer this one and then we'll pass it on chat. But I think so many times, especially, you know, and I dare not do this. I'm going to put my mind and I'm going to try to think like a woman. And that's going to be very difficult to do. I'm going to go there for a minute. But if I'm a woman, which I'm not, but if I am a woman, I think sometimes, you know, I think there's a trap there, especially on young ladies in high school going to college, which says that they kind of have to have this template of a man that, you know, and not necessarily physically, but I mean, there's like a checklist of things that have to exist. Now, given your experience, you know, kind of, you know, and I know your dating history, and you know, kind of your experience, and we'll go there, we'll let you get there in a second, but kind of your experience, you know, as far as like what was your checklist, if you will, and then, you know, how has Chad kind of been different? And, you know, kind of maybe contrast that a little bit for us.
Interesting. Okay, so my parents made the rule that I wasn't allowed to date anybody until I was 16. And, of course, I thought that.
And my daughter's, it's going to be 33.
Well, my parents said it was 16, and I thought they were, like, the harshest parents in the world at the time. And I made this big, like, I was always fussing. And I was like, but this guy and that guy. But my parents were very firm on that. And then when I turned 16, I really do believe that God completely worked in me and changed my whole outlook on relationships. And I was sitting there going, what am I even thinking? And then I just, it just went through me, and I'm like, I'm not going to marry anybody that's not a Christian. That was one thing that went through my mind. And I'm like, so what would be the point in dating any of them if they weren't, you know, if they're not? And my school at the time, because I grew up in Maine, my older sister and I were the only two that were outspoken Christians. So I was like, psh, there's nobody here, so I'm not dating anybody here. So it was just this, you know, like very easy to determine that, you know, like, and then it just completely went into this whole different spin of who I was going to date, how I was going to date. And I was like, well, there's no point in dating until you want to get married, until you're ready to get married. I don't know what God wants to do with me. I don't know where he wants to lead me, where he wants to take me. I don't know what I'm going to do as far as college is concerned. I don't know. And so I just started thinking, there's no point in it. And I just went on this whole different thing about, I need to interact with guys and be in relationships with guys where I am looking at them as a brother in Christ, not as potential, not as a guy that I'm supposed to be with, not as, you know, like that kind of thing. I had to look at them and be like, you know what? I don't know if this person is going to, you know, if this is somebody that I'll end up with. I don't know if this is, you know, and I was just like, I need to show them Christ's love and, you know, honor them. And I don't know if they're going to be my husband. I don't know if there's another girl that's with my husband. So I need to be conducting myself with any guy in a way that I want whatever girl is with my husband to be treating that person. So I was like, I am not going to be doing. And so I didn't. I didn't date anybody. I didn't date anybody in high school. I didn't date anybody in college. And my wow. And people would just look at me and be like, Kelly, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm not going to get married now. And there's no point. I'm just, I want to get my, you know, like, I want to know where I'm supposed to be. I want to be settled. I want to be in a place where I'm like, okay, God, I've served you. I've done exactly what you want me to do. I am in your will. And now the doors are open. And hey, now I could possibly potentially look and see if there's anyone that God would lead me to marry, that kind of thing. And so that was my outlook on dating and relationships and everything. And so I mean, Chad is the second person that I've been in a relationship with, I didn't even start being in a relationship with a guy until I was 28. So like it was, yeah, I mean, it was very, that was me. And what was the question?
No, I just want to pause. I mean, because here's the deal.
I'm giving a story about my view on dating.
And people who are going to listen to this message, because we're recording this, but here's the deal is that's wisdom, ladies, and guys too. I think so many times you guys are pressured, you know, and as young people, you're pressured to be in a relationship, to be with the one. But that right there was just straight up wisdom that you heard. There's no point because God hasn't called me to that yet. That's kind of what you can just boil that all down to. And so that's just awesome to share that.
Yeah, and I remembered what you were saying about the checklists and like what kind of things. And I mean, of course, I can start out with, you know, as people in high school were asking me, like, you know, why aren't you going to date somebody? Why won't you do? I mean, they, of course, because most of the school, I mean, there was no one that I knew that was a Christian. So they would always harp on me and be like, you're never going to find him. He doesn't exist. You know, they'd give me that kind of spiel. And I mean, of course, I would say the things like, I want him to be a virgin. I want him to never have had alcohol, to ever had drugs, who I've ever had smoked, who ever had, you know, I had like these huge lists because those were things that I thought had to be like, you know, obviously that defined a person. So I was like, those were my things. And I had these long list of just essentials. And slowly, like you can have a person that's like that, but then their heart, like, I mean, you can meet every one of those essentials that I thought was the, like, you know, like making the list. And then you can get to know their heart. And then you're like, wait a minute. They don't have the same values. They don't have the same. I mean, even they can be saved. They can be a Christian. But they don't have the same heart. They don't have the same values. They don't have the same goals in their relationship with God. They don't have the same pursuits. They don't have this. And then it's like, well, none of that stuff matters. If I can't find the guy that wants to go in the same direction with God, then it's not even, just cut it off right there. And that became my only, like, and then from there, like, and that's what, you know, I mean, once Chad started speaking and his whole thing, I sat back and it was like the first time that I was like, wow, that is a guy that I could actually see myself following. And then I was like, all right, now I'm kind of like, whoo, like my radar was turned on to him just because he was somebody that I saw his heart and I knew that he would be someone that I could follow and he would lead and I knew where he wanted to go with God. And that was what made me.
That's awesome that you share that. And I hope that at ladies, you are all listening to that. I mean, that's powerful. I mean, that's what it truly is. I mean, we kind of have these misconceptions sometimes of what a relationship's supposed to be, but when it's right, God confirms it, and we just know, you know. And I think just speaking on this side, I've been married, and seeing where they're at, and just hearing their testimony, and then talk about the relationship. When you know that it's right, and that's who God has brought into your life, you just know that it's right. It wasn't a forced thing, you know. So that's awesome. So, Chad, we'll ask you a different question. Guys always tell the truth, by the way. You'll discover this in relationship matters. Not that women don't, but women will start thinking like, but if I say this, what do they think? You know, because what she just said, you know, what will they think this? And it gets really difficult. But I want to know, it's kind of a two-part question. How long were you together before you kissed? And where was it?
It's about 2 months. And it was in her driveway.
Her driveway? Okay. Wait.
I was going.
You're
home.
Not at home, right? You're on. Okay. You're living. You're at. You're not. Oh, yeah. You are at home. So it's your parents' house? That's great. Awesome. Yeah, we can clap. That's good, right? That's awesome. That's cool. Well, tell us now, Chad. You know, I obviously know a little bit about both of y'all's testimony and background, but share with us now from your perspective. Now, you know, you can recall past experiences, kind of tell us where you came from relationship-wise and how this has been different. I know you had mentioned earlier that it's almost like a slowdown, you know, Christ was kind of leading that. Maybe kind of talk a little bit about that, like what is the biggest difference between maybe past relationships and then what God has for you right now?
Oh, man, for me... I went the complete opposite direction as she did. I look at her story and I'm like, this is amazing. But then again, I don't regret anything that I did because it's where God's brought me today. And I believe that he can use that. So for me, I was 14 when I lost my virginity. I was in two or three different relationships two relationships, one for 5 years. From 13 up until my senior year of high school. So I missed so much of my life throughout that part. But the worst part about it, you know, it was unbiblical. I also want to throw this out there. This was a girl that was heavily involved in church at that age. She was involved with youth. She went to Camp Lurecrest every year. And it didn't stop her. You know, she wasn't necessarily... She was still living that double life, and I was involved with it too. And she cheated on me several times, but it was at that point that I had already, at that age, it was like, I guess you would say, the first love. I had put so much of my heart into that relationship that when that relationship was over, it scarred me for 2, 3, 4 years. And it was only because once I laid it out there that much, it didn't matter if she cheated on me. I went back to her because, I mean, I was already invested. And then I finally got into another relationship after high school. She ended up cheating on me. And for me, it's one of those things that going into this relationship now, it's hard for me. And she knows this. I told her from day one. I said, the one thing that I'm afraid of is that it's hard for me to learn to trust again. Like, this is the first relationship I've been in that's actually a Christian, like a Christ-centered relationship. As it's hard for me to trust, you know, there may be times I may have jealousy issues because of, like, me not knowing if that guy's going to be a candidate for her. Only because in my past, guys came along and, you know, the girlfriend in high school is like, you know, oh, we're just friends. She cheated on me with that guy. So for me, people can become candidates. Like, well, what if that guy's better than me? So there's a lot of issues. Like, it's really scarred me to the point there's issues of trust. There can be jealousy issues of like being good enough and all that. Things that I shouldn't have, but things that are real. It's happened. It's affected me, and it's because I chose to go down the wrong road. And my view on girls then was, you know, me and my buddies would just go out once I was old enough to go to clubs and stuff, and we would just sit there and just look at girls as if like, you know, she's hot, she's good looking. We based it all off of this outward appearance, and it was almost like this goal of who can get who or who. And so for the first time for me, when I met her, when I met Kelly, it was just like this thing of, I began to see what a girl is that you're supposed to look for. I mean, this girl, it was more of just like this heart thing. And it was more of her showing me by me telling her that in the first week, you know, this is things I'm afraid of. You know, I may do this for another year. I may do this for 2 years. I may never get over this. I may always have some of these issues that can reoccur and pop out. And she tells me, if you change or don't change, I'll love you the same. And she began to speak to me in ways that I can stop and almost say, you know what, that's what God's saying about me. If she's saying it about me, how much greater God is, that's what he's. And so she began to show Christ to me and began to show me like the heart. And it's not about the physical. It's not about the appearance. And it's not about any of those things. I mean, at the end of the day, if we don't have Christ, and if it's not Christ in the center, then it's nothing. I mean, she began to show me that, and almost to the point of, there's been times that she'll say, you know, I love you, or she'll say something to me, and I can almost be like, in my head, or I might even say it like, do you, you know, because of me thinking, well, I've been told I've been loved before, and then it backfired, so that can reoccur. So there's definitely scars there. And then there's been times, it's actually happened a week or so ago, and she's like, you know, sometimes I think you look for that, like you're expecting that it's going to go wrong. She's like, but I'm not that girl. And it looks like that you expect that, like, in a way, I know you don't want to, but do you want to hear me say that I don't love you? And I'm sitting there going, that's Christ also. You know, it's like Christ is saying, you know, I know what you've done. I know that you fall down, but I want to help you get back up. I know that there's times you may doubt. I know there's times you may think that I don't love you, but I love you anyway. I love you for who you are. And so she just began to show me Christ and speak Christ into my life. And so for me now, it's just looking at girls in a point of that it's not the physical, it's not the appearance, it's not what you can get out of it. Really, it's that if you can see Christ in that person, then that is the goal. And so my whole outlook on relationships and girls has completely, completely changed. And that's pretty
cool. That's awesome. Thanks so much for sharing that. And my mic is having fits. Okay. Thanks for sharing that. And I mean, I know that's heartfelt. And I mean, I think some of you guys know, but I mean, when we start talking, you know, and Chad is talking about his past, I mean, I've come from even my past. I was engaged 3 times, third time I actually got married. And so I've kind of had this whole checkered past in relationships. And so, you know, as they're talking about this, especially Chad's talking more from his perspective, you know, I'm over here sitting here kind of identifying like, wow, you know, I know what that feels like. I know what he's going through. And I hope, you know, guys, you were, you know, listening to this because, I mean, this, what he was saying, you know, this is the wisdom here is that it's seeing Christ. And when you see girls, and our first inclination is think, wow, you know, they look good, or, you know, that they're hot or whatever. It's really that they're a sister in Christ, or they're someone else's wife potentially. And I think it's that whole mindset of just conditioning your mind to be more Christ-like, to thinking that, you know, girls aren't, you know, targets. They aren't something to kind of check off your list. I mean, they're treasures. They're God's, you know, daughters. They're treasures. And if we kind of have that perspective, and, you know, and I wish that I would have been involved in a youth group, or I wish I would have heard that. Because, I mean, when the first time I heard that, it just kind of resounded in me. And it kind of changed my perspective on relationships and really opened me up to hearing the gospel. The next thing I want to talk about, I think a lot of times people, especially in relationships, and this is one of the questions, you know, verbatim, basically, that we had come in from online or whatever. But one of the things that people want to know is, like, you know, obviously if you're in a relationship, there's some sort of physical, you know, attractiveness there. Obviously, you know, I can tell, and I think we can all get the vibe that it isn't just, oh, we just like each other for our looks, and that's about it. No, obviously, I think everyone knows that it goes much deeper than that, and that's the cool part is that God is you know, has really kind of showed you that internal person, that person of the heart, which is very important. But how do you guys deal? Because obviously there's an attraction there. How do you guys guard yourself when you're together as far as, you know, physically? You know, obviously with a past, you know, with a little bit of a past, a history. And even Kelly, I mean, I know, I think for women, a lot of times is we want to be, you know, women want to be loved. Women, yeah, I got something I got to tell you. Took a trip to Thailand about 2 years ago. No, but women want to be loved. And I think sometimes, and especially if that love isn't provided in an affirming environment at home, like from a dad, and from a mom, from parents sometimes, women can try to find that love from, you know, and it turns physical from the first thing that shows them affection. And I think, you know, not necessarily you, I mean, because you're, the words you were using were quite strong, and I loved it because you're like, why do I want to get in a relationship when I know that I'm not called to marry that person? But now, you know, the feelings are probably getting a little bit stronger in the relationship, and you guys have agreed that it's moving forward. How do you deal with that physical side of things? And just please be honest. I mean, you know, we don't need nitty-gritty details, but, you know, for their sake, I mean, how do you guys deal with that?
Okay, well, I mean, okay, so for us, I know that both of us have the idea that, like, I mean, when, you know, we've talked about stuff like this before, and both him and I already have the same idea that we never want to be in a situation, in a place where if God were to come back tonight, in this moment, would we be like, oh, crap? Like, you know, we don't want to be in those kind of, in those moments where we would be dishonoring God. Like, it's, I mean, obviously our having the same principles, have the same values, the same morals, the fact that, you know, biblically we know that, you know, we're supposed to abstain from all sexual and, you know, immorality, that kind of thing. Can it be tough? Can it be hard? Can there be moments when, you know, like, we get attracted to each other and we have to be like, okay, you know what? We gotta stop kissing. We gotta stop, you know, like that kind of thing. Yeah, that stuff can happen. And it's, I mean, there are those moments.
Is it because mom and dad might walk outside?
No.
Okay. I'm sorry. I had to say it.
But like, but it's that kind of thing where like those kind of moments can arise. And that, yeah. But in the back of both of our heads and, you know, in our hearts, we're not, our desires are not, are to please, I mean, they are to please God. They are to honor Him first. And it's to put ourselves second and our desires second. So our, like, you know, it's, we want to conduct ourselves in a way that we know that we are honoring God. And so that is, I mean, that's basically what we do.
Now be honest here. Is there, would you say as the woman, would you say, is there sometimes a temptation to be like, well, we can push a boundary. I mean, and you can be honest. And if it's a no, it's a no. But I mean,
there are times when, yes, there are times when that can come into play. And you can be like, maybe a little bit, it won't, you know, that kind of thing. And that's when, from the girl's perspective, that is when girls in those moments also need the guy to be the one that is leading and will, because there can be, the girl sadly can, you know, like, follow the guy's lead, and so, you know, like, wow. Hey, okay, you know, like, but that kind of thing. So, like, girls have to, you going into a relationship, you need to not go into it and then get together and be like, let's discuss these boundaries. Can we do this? Well, yeah, let's do that. Well, maybe we shouldn't do this. And maybe, I mean, if you go into a relationship and you're making the boundaries together, none of those boundaries are going to ever happen. Like, you're going to fail. They're going to fall. They're going to get messed up. You have to go into a relationship already with those boundaries. You need to know how far you are going to go before you ever go into a relationship. And you need to know where you stand. And you need to be strong in where you stand. Because once you get in the relationship, it's going to get hard. Things are going to fall apart. Things are going to fail. But you can always go back on. You know, like, it really is important just to know where you want to be first before you enter into something. Because if you're not prepared, it's never going to, like, you're just, it'll be so hard to stand.
Right. Yeah, these are things called hormones that are in us, right? Things that happen, especially when attraction is involved. And it's almost like the cognitive side of the brain, you know, the logical side ceases to function, especially for guys. And so that, you know, again, echoing what Kelly stated is that, you know, you got to have boundaries. But there's something that I caught, and I think, you know, what you said is very true, is that a lot of times, you know, when if it's the right guy, that guy is leading.
Right, exactly.
And that's scary. I don't know. Does that scare you a little bit? Actually, grab the mic.
Before she said it, I was going to say that from the guy's perspective and for all you guys out there, it's very important in any part of the relationship. The girl in most things is looking for the guy to lead them, whether it be decision, anything. Like, so if excuse me. Anyway, if I'm the one that is saying, you know, this is okay or this is okay, she's going to eventually put her guard down, you know, and believe the thing is okay. So it's very important for me, and I take all responsibility. I mean, you know, if I feel like, you know, we're kissing too heavy or something, that I will start to be the one, like, you know, I feel guilty or it's my fault, you know, because I believe that I'm supposed to be that person that is supposed to stand up as a guy and lay down those boundaries to the way of, like, this isn't going to happen or this is going to happen. Also, what Kelly said going into it, having where you want to be before you get there is true, because oftentimes if you get into a relationship, even if you're both saved, but then you begin to talk about them and you kind of start to say, well, you know, we can't do this or we can do it, then you're actually doing it on your own power. You're starting to say, well, you know, let's not do this. That's not going to work because you two are saying, let's not. But if you go into it before you even get connected, you go into it with the mindset of, God, you know, show me the girl or show me the guy, and then help me to please you. Help me to not do these things and help me. Now you're going off of God's power and God's strength, and you already have a plan going in. Because I know for anything with me in the past, anything I said, I mean, I said a million times, I'm going to stop drinking. I never stopped drinking. You know, when I got saved, God lifted that for me in that moment, in that desire, but it was his power. So I think it's very important to have that plan with God before, even before the other person's involved. If you already have this plan with God one-on-one, saying, God, when I get in a relationship, help me to act as you would want me to act. I think that's very important. And going off of my past, I would think in this relationship, it would be harder for me than her, because I have had that past. I have been down the road that, you know, I've done all those things. So for me, it can be very hard. Like, you ask her, does a thought ever go through her head? The thought can go through my head a million times if I allow it, and I just have to pray and ask God to help me. And first and foremost, I don't want to disappoint him. And, you know, one guy in an old Bible study I was in, he said one time, and it just stuck with me, he said, the way he lives life is, if God was to return right now, is this what I want to be doing? And he applies it to everything he does. And I'm not saying I'm perfect, you know. We, by the grace of God, and think that God's given the strength, haven't got caught up to actually doing anything that you would consider doing anything, but we have gotten heavy into kissing, heavy into, like, you know, holy joke. So we have to say, you know, step back. So, I mean, it's been awesome, but the minute I think we have it together is when we'll fail. And that's the key. The minute that I think I've got it is when I'll fail.
Yeah, and I think, you know, just to add a little bit to that, I mean, even in James 4:10, you know, submit yourself to the Lord and he'll lift you up. And I think as guys, and this is, you know, this is what I got out of what Chad was talking or saying just now, and even in my own life, is that if you're not being led by Christ, then you're not ready to lead another by Christ, if that makes sense. And especially in the realm of relationships. Because here's the deal. If Chad leads Kelly astray, he's accountable to God, you know, on so many levels. It's like, that's a daughter. That's God's daughter. You know, and if they weren't being together, if it doesn't end up working out, and if God doesn't have them, you know, continue this journey together into marriage, then that could be potentially someone else's wife. I mean, and trying to explain to God, yeah, but we just really liked each other. And, well, it was just one time. I mean, you see all these different things. And as guys, you know, we're accountable to that. And so, you know, and what I get out of this, because I know for me and my perspective, when God got my life right, the next day, you know, after I got saved, didn't mean I was ready for a relationship, because I was not. You know, there was no way. But God, through that year or so, began to work on my heart, stripped all the stuff out of my life, and put a level of respect in my mind for his creation, especially in the realm of relationships. And that's so important as men, because, again, you know, we have that mentality. Guys are hunters. You know, we like to hunt. And it can easily turn into a trophy sort of thing. And this is where girls, you got to be, adamant. Like, unless God's called you to marry somebody, then you're just now is not the time. And so when you put, potentially two things together where you have a lady or a young woman who, seeking love, seeking affirmation in a relationship with a guy who isn't grounded biblically. Maybe they go to church, or maybe they even know the Lord, but they aren't respecting, God's, authority in their life. And you put those things together, and that's a bad mix. Those are bad things that can happen. And it's been awesome just kind of seeing where God has both of you, and even just, the candor and just the honesty that you're able to express here. And I've got one more question, and then I'll probably take one random question from an audience member, if you guys have one, or girls, people. But this one is kind of, and again, we talked a little bit ago about, we talked about the dating, courtship, and how, and even you guys agree that, you felt it kind of moving forward. And I think this question is probably going to be more of kind of like where you're at and probably discovering. But, and this is one that came in, again, from online. But, the question is, are you equally yoked? And maybe you can just share just a few moments from both your perspectives, like where you think you are, and maybe where God is, sharpening you, so to speak, in this relationship and what you're learning. But where are you guys equally yoked? And whoever wants to go ahead and share first.
Well, I'll just say yes, as far as, we're both saved. So, as far as that matter, yes. But I know she has more that she wanted to share on that. So I just
okay. Yes.
Yes. Equally yoked. Because that we in the biblical sense, obviously, it means are you both believers? And so yes, we are both believers. So we are equally yoked. But I think it goes a step further as far as like even do you have the same kind of values? Do you view Christ almost in the same way, and where are you spiritually? And the first relationship I was in, the guy was a believer, so yes, we were equally yoked, but he and I did not have the same values, and that became very apparent as things as I was getting to know him and that kind of stuff. Going into it, and I'm like, oh, yeah, he's a believer. He prays, he reads the Bible, goes to church, and knowing all this stuff about him. And then as I was getting to know him more, and then I realized that he didn't like the idea of serving. He didn't like being at, extra work at church. And I'm sitting there going, I love being at church. I serve all the time at church. That's how I got my job at church. And my heart towards what I want to do and where I want to go and how I want to serve God was not anywhere like what he wanted to do and where he wanted to go and how he wanted to serve God. And then there was a separation because we would not be growing together in Christ because we had different paths and different ways we wanted to go. And that is important. Like, anyone can be like, you could look at them and be like, oh yeah, they're saved. And so that's fine. They're good. That kind of thing. Check. They make the list. But if you guys don't have the same outlook towards God, if you don't share the same view on, who Christ is and what he has done and the same views on just the simple things of like baptism and, just like the same things, you can be worlds apart. And I know, even from my parents' perspective, my dad, which it's amazing, my dad actually was not much of a church goer. My mom ended, obviously they ended up getting married and they're still together, but my mom was the one that brought us to church. My mom is the one that read us the Bible. My mom was the one, and my dad would go occasionally here and there, but it was always pulling teeth to get him to go. And I saw how it hurt my mother. Like I saw that, and that kind of thing, because yes, they had Christ in common, but it was not, there was tension because they didn't have the same viewpoint on who God was in their lives. And since we've moved here, my dad is done like a whole different change. And my dad goes to church and he's like here every Sunday. I mean, like he's, and you would, now they're the same and they share a common thing and everything is different. And the family, you know, like it's, my mom is happy now. You know, like, it, you know, like that whole thing is not missing anymore. So it's very essential that it's not just them being a believer. It's also that they, you are like-minded in your spirit. You know, like, yeah, you can have some, you know, differences as far as like little things, but you want to make sure that you guys are headed on the same path and you have God, your view on God and where he is in your life and that he's number, you know, like he's number one and you're going to do his will above everything else and he's first. If you guys don't have that stuff in common, it's lots of tension. Not good.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for sharing that. And, you know, I think, again, you know, the takeaway from tonight is, you know, I think a lot of times we can have these preconceived notions of what a relationship is, where it's supposed to land. You know, guys are thinking, and I'm going to just be real honest here. Guys are going to think it's, well, it's going to be very physical and it's, you know, it's going to be like dessert all the time, you know, like buffet. And women have a very different perspective. And I think sometimes because when we mature in Christ and Christ, you know, our relationship with God, you know, really changes us. And, you know, what I'm hearing here, you know, and it's kind of cool, is that God worked on them individually first and brought them to a place where they needed to be before he brought them together. Did you guys catch that? Are you guys catching that? That he, you know, brought them up to where they needed to be. When they got to where they needed to be in their relationship, you know, with God, he brought them together. And I think the number one mistake that a lot of people make in relationships is they want to get together and then go where God wants him to be. And that's counter what he wants. That doesn't make sense. And so again, you know, what I'm hoping that you got out tonight is you got that big picture. But here's the cool part, is that over the next 10 weeks, we're going to, you know, have small group times. We're going to come in here. We're going to do worship. We're going to break up into guys group and girls group. And we're going to talk about things that are pertinent to guys and pertinent to girls in our individual groups. Chad and Kelly are going to be here. They're going to be some of our group leaders as well. But before we, you know, kind of conclude the evening, I will take one question. Does anyone have any question that they'd want to ask? I know the girls all have questions. There's got to be at least one. And if you're going to ask a question, you have to come up here and speak into the mic because we need to. Or actually just tell me. I can repeat it for you. Gage. Kelly, we have a question for you. Where do babies come from?
Jesus sends a stork. I told you I would tell you that if you asked that. You can ask your mother.
Wow. Are you seriously going to let that be the question for the night from the audience?
No one else raise your hand.
Gage, are you clear now where babies come from?
Yeah,
okay. Awesome. Awesome. Any other questions? Okay.
Have like, you ever thought?
Have, the question is yeah, not a physical fight.
I throw
but
some punches here.
Tell us about a disagreement, like a minute or less, like what a disagreement might be like at this level. Because they obviously see the attraction side of you guys. But like, what is, you know, what is a normal, hey, we just had a disagreement. What's that like?
Well, we're both very, so we can both be very stubborn. There is, because we both, I mean, there's pride involved, which is, you know, and we're very competitive and we're very, you know, that is definitely there. So the stubbornness comes out.
And cribbage makes this happen when you play
yes,
cribbage.
Yes. But, you know, like if there's a disagreement or there's an argument, it usually results in, you know, obviously there can be some anger and stuff. And, you know, usually there's not, I mean, I wouldn't say there's much kind, we're unkind, you know, like we're not like mean as far as like verbally blah 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 blah, you know, like we're not going, it's more of just like, it's more of just becoming that silent, you know, the other person's mad and we're just like sitting there just kind of like, you know, just kind of stewing over it. And then typically, not to sound like I am boasting on myself, but typically I am the one that will be like, I'm sorry, and I will go and apologize. And that is because, I mean, that is mainly because of my pastor up in Maine did a sermon one time, and he talked about standing ready to forgive. And it was all about how Jesus forgives us and how he's not giving a pity party. He's not pouting. He's not waiting for this person to apologize seven times before I actually show forgiveness. You know, that's not how Jesus forgives. And Jesus is standing there ready to forgive us. You know, before we even turn, he's already there, you know. And so when he gave that sermon, I sat there and it just completely resonated in me. And I was just like, I need to be doing that. Like, I want to be forgiving, like, you know, Jesus is forgiving. And so it's an inward struggle sometimes. And I'll be like, I want to just, you know, be quiet, not say anything. And I want him to feel bad. And there'll be moments when I have like an inward battle of like, I want to, and then I'm like, no, like I need, and I'm like, that is not right. And I was like, that is not where my heart should be. I need to be offering forgiveness before he even says, you know, like I need to just be there and say, I'm sorry. So that has really played, you know, and so I'll go to him and I will apologize. And from there,
speaking in tongues.
Blah, 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 blah. Conversation is key. Yeah. Like, we talk about everything. We then, you know, after the emotion of like, is gone. Well,
let me translate a little bit of that to these guys here to make sure they caught that. What she is not saying is that because she is saying that she's sorry, she's not admitting that she's always wrong. Okay. But what I'm hearing is that it's just, you know, and we're wired differently. And I think I'm more of like this in my relationship with my wife, and she would admit this, is that if there's tension, you know, a lot of times I'll be like, you know what? That's not worth it. That's kind of silly. You know, it's like water under a bridge. That's kind of silly. And that's what she's saying, is that, you know, God has given her that ability to be able to say, you know what? That's kind of silly.
There's no point in holding this, you know, like, and so to break the tension, break the awkwardness, offer up this, you know, and then we talk about it and we get through it. And then why did it bother us? What made us angry? You know, that kind of thing. And we discuss
it. Do you write in a feelings log, Chad? I'm just kidding. A feelings log. Like, today I was mad at Kelly. No, I'm just kidding. No feelings log.
I was just going to say, I think that she's been saved for 25 years or whatnot too, and me is coming up on 3 years. So for me, I can actually at some points feel defeated almost, but I've come to realize that that's the whole point of relationship. Like, you're supposed to magnify each other. Like, God is actually working for you to actually, for her to work out things in me and for me to work out things in her. We're supposed to help each other in God. So what happens is when she stands ready to forgive and when she just things that she does and says, I'm sitting there going like, she's so much more like Christ than I am. And I'll get down on myself, but then I got to think God is using her in areas of my life that is not been refined yet. And he's using that to open my eyes to begin to work on me so that I can get better at it. And that's really what relationship is about also, is refining each other. And she does it more often than I do. And I'd hate to admit it, but she does. You know, just the way it is.
Yeah, well, that's awesome. Well, again, I want to thank them both for being here and just sharing. You can give them a pause. Thank them for just sharing, you know, again, where they're at. Not everybody does this. And when you guys ever get in a relationship in the next 15 years, and you have an opportunity to speak to young people in high school, I hope that you would do the same thing. And, you know, because I think it is a blessing. But let me close this out in prayer. And if you guys have any questions, I know they're going to hang out for a little bit, not all night, because this, you know, they want to go have their time together. It's Sunday. They want to play cribbage. But, you know, if you have questions for them, feel free to ask them afterwards. And again, you know, next week, you know, feel free to invite some friends. You know, we're going to be, again, doing groups. And the weeks aren't going to build. They're each standalone topics. And so during this summer, if you're gone, if you hurt your foot, you can't show up, that's cool. But, you know, they are standalone topics each and every week. But it will be good to catch as many of the weeks as you can, because I think you'll be blessed by this study that we're going to do. You're going to be blessed by our small group time as well. So let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, just thank you so much, Lord, for this time to come together. Thank you just for Kelly and Chad and their honesty and their relationship, Lord. And we're just thankful that we could just hear from them and hear what you're doing in their lives. And Lord, I just pray that the students that came tonight, Lord, and even those that would listen to this message later, would just be able to reflect, to ponder, and just to hear the wisdom that you spoke through them, Lord. We thank you so much, Father, and we just ask for just a wonderful rest of our evening. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen.